I'd also like to just point out, Samson, he was in the vineyards, and it says that to his surprise, a young lion came. And when I read this last night, I was thinking, all right, so Samson's there, and maybe they're offering him the wine, but he's saying, no, you know, I can't have the wine. And he's maybe focused on that, saying, no, I can't do that. But out of nowhere, something else came. And just as an encouragement, when we go someplace, we say, oh, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Satan can use that to his advantage. And he can use that to distract us while he hits us with something else. So even just being near something or even just looking at something, even if you're at your house and you're just looking at something, say, no, it's not that bad. I'm just looking. There is something else that could come out of nowhere and attack you like that. And like we're saying, we can't always expect that the grace of God is going to come in and help us so we don't stumble. Everybody stumbles. And we just got to be encouraged by that and not even say, oh, I'm just looking.
And I will note that the Lord saved him, but it was at the expense, he broke the Nazarite vow here. In killing the lion, he touched a dead body. Mm. And so it was a losing situation from being where he was. It's nothing good could come of it.
So in other words, even though God comes in sovereign grace and spares his life, there was the consequence for the action that he had placed himself in Timnah, amongst the vineyards, seeking out a woman of the Philistines, and now the enemy makes a frontal attack. And I want to say that this is how the enemy is. You see, the very first attack here with Samson is one that is very obvious from the enemy. He comes as this roaring lion. He's seen. It's a young lion, so it's the full energy of the enemy of our souls, and he's moving very quickly, and a young lion pounces on you in a minute, and it's wonderful to see how God, in grace, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him. There needed to be divine power brought to bear immediately to spare Samson, and you know we are Nazarites from birth. And we sometimes, God has to move very, very quickly in a nano, you know, what is it, a nano, a second of time, to intercede on our behalf, to save us, that we're not devoured by the enemy. We have got to realize that there's that consequence. So there's the dead body now. If it was the man or the woman who was not born a Nazarite but vowed the vow, was over. You got to start again. Maybe you were three quarters of the way done. Maybe just one day before the vow was kept. Wherever you were in that cycle, based on Numbers 6, you've lost. You've got to go back because you were independent. You allowed just natural desires to take hold of you. You didn't obey. We had last night, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so we begin again. But here's Samson, like us. We're Nazarites our whole life. But it doesn't mean that we are absolved from being in this situation. God coming down in a mighty way to rescue us. But then there's the consequence that we have been defiled by dead things. And the defilement by these dead things, sometimes they are not so easily washed away. There's sometimes the literal scars of the defilement that will be seen the rest of your life. Sometimes there's the psychological and emotional scars that you're always going to have to deal with. That's what corruption does. You know, death means corruption. And corruption is something that once it lays hold of you, you know, God miraculously sometimes allows us to rise above some of the scars, but they are there, and they trail us the entire life.
I think we see something very interesting in terms of, and I think after, especially after this, I think of many of the characters in the Bible, Samson, we could see a lot of ourselves in Samson. Because the Lord comes in a mighty way and saves him. And he keeps going in the wrong direction. Then he cuts right back through the vineyard. It should be obvious. It should be obvious. God's grace comes in and saves you. But what do? We often, it's not I keep falling into different sins. It's usually the same sins that continue to plague us. You know, when the enemy knows what is effective against us, that's what's going to keep throwing at us. And we are very weak. Just because we are Christians, just because we are Nazarites, doesn't mean that we have special spiritual discernment. We still need help. We still need grace. And after the and after this deliverance, you know, we hope that when the Lord enters into our lives, and if the Lord has to save us in this way, we would take a look and recognize the grace. Samson has a complete lack of spiritual discernment. I don't think he realizes the grace that saved him. He cut through the vineyard specifically to see the lion that he slew. There's pride. He looked at what the Lord had done and said, look what I did. And he keeps walking down the right path. We need communion with our Lord so much, not only to avoid, like Jesse said, being in these situations in the first place, but we're human and we're going to fail. But if we don't have any kind of relationship with the Lord, we're not even going to recognize His grace. We're not even going to recognize His saving hand. And that, to me, I think is the saddest thing in Samson's life, that he never recognizes the mighty ways that even despite his own failure, that the Lord uses him and saves him.
Now, I'd like to move us into chapter 16, the first three verses. But before we turn over, perhaps someone might just help us a little bit with the verse 8. You had the carcass of the lion. There's a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass. Samson ate of this. He gave to his father and his mother, but he didn't tell them. He hid from them where the honey had come from. What lesson do we learn from this account here?
Do you want us to stand up and just sing a couple of verses before we get into that portion?
Sure.